This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and J. Randall Murphy, and I was about to call him something else. Welcome back to the Paracast. Nothing offensive, by the way. So last week we had some nice reaction to the appearance of Calvin Parker of Pascagoula, Mississippi fame on the Paracast. First, that episode occurred in October of 1973. And after all these years, he's a little bit older, not been super well in recent years, wants to leave a legacy, which is why he wrote a book about it for the Flying Disc Press. So that's where it stands. One of our listeners, though, thought that maybe we should have asked more penetrating questions about what the alien, quote-unquote, look like, what the aliens look like and things like that. I kind of thought that this has been mentioned so many thousands of times, maybe not. What do you think, Randall?
Well, like I said on the forum there, those are the kind of questions that would have been nice to ask if we had had more time to do so. And the thing is that episode just seemed to fly by for me. There just wasn't enough time to get all those little details in. So we did the best we could also to take the suggestions of another one of our forum people and just let Calvin tell his story for, you know, the good first half of the show. So it's not to interrupt him all the time digging into little details that kind of ruin the context and the flow of the story.
This is a story that has been published and republished and discussed for a long, long time. David, we've talked to you about UFO abductions. Do you have any particular observations about Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson?
Well, I have to tell you that on the one hand, I don't think the abduction can have taken place as they described it, that the pier off which they were fishing was fairly close to a major highway, and it's inconceivable to me that none of the motorists reported seeing the object that abducted them land or take off. On the other hand, I cannot believe that they simply fabricated it as a joke. That what seems to me to prove that they didn't is the police tapes. Did you talk about that with Calvin when he was on the show?
The secret tapes, the police tapes, yes.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's clear that these are two people who've been through an experience which they found harrowing, which they don't understand. So I think we have to keep both of those realities in balance, that they did experience something, and what they experienced was not what they thought it was.
How would you interpret it then?
Okay, I'm going to use a category here, but once I say that, I don't think I've given much of an explanation for it, and that is to call it a religious vision. There are some curious features of it. One is that they describe the ship that comes for them as having, that I think its opening is like a fish's mouth. Which seems to me significant in that they went out to catch fish so that the ones who were catching are themselves caught. Another thing that I found striking about it is that Hickson says to Parker at one point, they had us, son. They could have owned us. And I found myself thinking how curious it is that that these are people from a part of the country where not long before people did own other people, and which in 1973, the legacy of that was still a matter of struggle and conflict. And I expect that all of these things were expressed in their experience. Now, exactly how that worked, I do not know. We have a number of parallels that might help understand how this kind of thing can happen.
Well, it certainly is coincidental that, and that exactly, you couldn't have said it better. The idea that they were out fishing and they themselves were caught in a large fish-shaped UFO, I mean, you can't escape that.
Yeah.
So what are these other parallels then that, that sort of suggest to you that, that we might be able to get a little closer to some sort of an explanation?
Okay, I find myself thinking of a book by a man named Morton Schatzman called The Story of Ruth. Now, Schatzman was an American psychiatrist who was practicing in London. And one of his patients was a young American woman, also in London, who was troubled, not to say tormented, by apparitions, appearances of her father, who would come and harass her. Now, in fact, this was a man who had abused her sexually when she was a child. And he would come and insult her and generally make her life miserable, even though he was physically on the other side of the Atlantic. Am I making myself clear so far?
Yes.
That she saw an apparition of him coming and troubling her.
Do you mean and like a doppelganger of some type? Like a physical observation, as if you were visually observing someone?
Absolutely. And she saw, when she was in Schatzman's office during the therapy hour, the apparition would come to her. And Schatzman couldn't see it, but she couldn't see him. But Ruth, as he called the woman, could see him. Not only that, she could stretch out her hand and touch him. That she could touch her father's beard and then compare it to Schatzman and say that the one is smoother than the other. So Schatzman was really puzzled by this, and he decided to do something that I find very interesting. That instead of treating this as a pathological symptom, to say, okay, she's crazy, she's hallucinating, she's seeing things, to say, what if what she's experiencing is something that maybe we all have potential for, but we haven't developed it? In other words, that this ability to create an apparition is a talent that some people have. And he worked with her to try to develop the talent and to try to increase her control so she could get rid of her father's apparition, which was hostile and menacing, and create other apparitions that were more to her taste, such as when her husband went off on a business trip, she created an apparition of her husband with whom she went on to have blowout sex. Now, exactly how this worked remains mysterious, but it looks like some people have the ability to do this, have the ability to create in their minds and interact with beings that nobody else can see, but which are real, are very real to them.
Let's continue with this in our next segment. We have David Halperin, longtime UFO investigator and religious scholar. We have J. Randall Murphy as our co-host, as a matter of fact. I'm Gene Steinberger in
The Paracast.
also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Oh, by the way, David, it looks like Randall is suffering from echoism.
What do we do about that?
I don't know. I understand there's a pill for that, and there's also an app for that. Anyway, we're talking here about these experiences. So the question is here, we have an older man in his 40s, I guess, at the time, Charles Hickson. We have a 19-year-old young man, Calvin Parker. And the question is here, did they separately bring this upon themselves? Did one influence the other? What do you think?
I don't know.
What we do know, though, is that the mind is a very powerful pattern recognition machine and generator, and that people can have these sorts of visions that you described previously. I think the clinical term, at least for one of them, is a hypnopompic hallucination, but that doesn't mean we have to treat it as a disease. And the approach that the therapist you mentioned took, I think, would have been a very beneficial way to explore the phenomena.
Yeah, I would use the word hallucination, except there seems to be no way to scrub it of its negative connotation. So when you see that, you hear the word hallucination, you think of somebody staggering around drunk and seeing pink elephants or 6 feet tall white rabbits or whatever. Whereas we seem to be dealing, and this is the case of Ruth and Morton Schatzman, is one that's been particularly well explored, but it seems to be a fairly common phenomenon that people who are perfectly sane, who are not under the influence of any chemical substance, see these things and sometimes interact with them. I remember a librarian from Western North Carolina, whom I met several years ago, a very charming woman in her 50s, though she looked younger, and very intelligent. And she was talking to me about the UFO aliens she saw on her lawn through the windows of her house when she was a child. And she said to me, "I know they weren't really there, but I did see them. And I want to hold on to both halves of her statement. I believe both of them. They weren't really there. And yes, she did really see them."
Well, that's entirely possible. I've brought up the work of Michael Persinger on recent shows. Are you aware of who he is?
Yes.
So you know then that he can actually induce experiences like that in people through the right frequencies of EM, electromagnetic stimulation, of people's brains.
And if I understand correctly, he's tried to associate UFO sightings with geographical areas where there are those levels of stimulation.
Absolutely. And other people have also, including him, have connected it with other forms of EM, not simply, say, geomagnetic, but things like plasma phenomena, possibly ball lightning. So one of the things we asked Calvin is if something like ball lightning, which is a bright blue light, which is what they describe seeing, could have triggered this type of an experience in them, and then as the effect wore off, they were just left in standing in place where they were. And he didn't deny that that could be possible. And that was one of the other reasons that I do, like you, believe that he really did have a genuine experience of some kind.
Yeah. And I think that one of the factors going into it, and the one that I stressed when I quoted Hickson, that they could have owned us, I think it's this country's very painful racial history. Remember that the abduction tradition starts out with a mixed race couple, Betty and Barney Hill. And Barney is absolutely terrified by his experience. Now, if I ask, how did Barney's ancestors come to this country? The most reasonable answer is that they were abducted in the middle of the night and taken to an alien ship. And I think that is what is being repeated in the experience that came up for Barney under hypnosis.
That's really interesting, but then isn't sometimes a potato just a potato? I mean, in other words, putting that into a paranormal context, I have an Irish heritage, but when I look at a potato, I don't suddenly envision myself as a reincarnated Irish immigrant who died during the Great Potato Famine or survived the Titanic, and likewise, the UFO I saw didn't look like a fairy mound or an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary or St. Patty or a leprechaun, and nor did I have any sudden epigenetic compulsion to be taken aboard the UFO to escape the trauma brought on by Nina signs and other hibernophobia.
But were your ancestors actually taken aboard a ship against their will?
Well, there's no question that they suffered all the trauma and of the Irish and set about on the sea to come to a new land on a ship. And so, you know, on ships at the time, mainly. Yet I don't see that sort of a thing. I mean, I have seen a UFO. It didn't remind me of any of that.
But I don't know that it's a strong an argument against it that it doesn't occur everywhere.
What I find really interesting about your interpretations are these symbolisms from history and culture and mythology. I actually find them really fascinating. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about some other examples.
This is going to be not going back into deep mythology or anything, but I'll give you the case of the Belgian sighting from the end of November 1989 into the spring of 1990.
Right, the triangle craft.
Exactly. And I'm going to be dependent here on Eric Wellett, who has written about these. I wish this idea were mine, but it's not original with me. It's Eric's. We did have, in the end of 1989 and early 1990, repeated sightings over Belgium. Oddly, they did not seem to spread beyond the borders of Belgium. Different types of UFOs, but the standard kind was the triangular UFO, three bright white lights, and in the middle, a dimmer red light. When these things were photographed, what came out in the picture was either a blob or nothing at all. So I think it's fair to assume that people were not seeing tangible, physical, photographable things in the sky. So what were they seeing? Well, keep in mind that November 1989 was a pretty eventful time in European history. The Berlin Wall had come down on November 9th. This was an emblem of what you could see going on around you, that communism was crumbling, generally without violence, in Eastern and Central Europe.
Let's break here. More to come with David Halperin. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Former President Barack Obama is hitting the campaign trail again, not for himself, but for fellow Democrats. He's given a speech in Orange County, California, urging Democrats to get registered and vote in the November election. He gave the crowd a pep talk.
Are you ready to get to work? Are you ready to get to work?
Mr. Obama appeared alongside seven Democrats in California who are trying to win House seats currently held by Republicans.
I am absolutely confident these candidates are going to win. And if these candidates win, I am absolutely confident that Washington will start working better.
Vice President Mike Pence says he's disappointed to see Obama campaigning because he says Americans rejected his policies in the 2016 election. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
844-972-BACK, 844-972-BACK, 844-972-BACK. That's 844-972-BACK.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
David Halpern, please continue on your discussion about these influences.
So what people were seeing is, on the one hand, a classic Jungian quaternity, that is, a combination of four, of which three are identical, and then the fourth is somehow different. Three bright white lights and a dimmer red light, and a symbolization of what's going on around them. That the red star is a symbol of communism. The white star was and is a symbol of NATO, which had and has its headquarters in Brussels. I don't think there's too much more to say about Belgium, except you can always say it's a coincidence. And this is what I am continually running up against. Maybe it is all coincidental. So,
just a little too coincidental. I mean, we can get into religious symbolism there as well. We've got three bright white lights. Does that remind you of anything? The Trinity, perhaps, surrounding the evil red symbolism of the demons and so on?
Yes, Dr. Jung, please call your office. Yes, that what Jung set forth these ideas in an essay on the psychological basis of the concept of the Trinity, that the Trinity for him is a mutilated quaternity, and Christianity suffers from the suppression of that fourth, who is, as you suggest, the devil, or alternatively, the female. I mean, I think that there is that, let's call it a universal symbol, but then also a very specific symbol of a very specific historical process, the crumbling of European communism. This also feels very medieval.
Right, which is also seen as evil, right? The evil communists. It all translates almost perfectly.
What I meant by medieval, though, is that people in the Middle Ages, when they know that they have a sense of something happening around them, they look up at the sky and they see, I don't know, globes fighting each other or armies in the sky, that they project into the sky their awareness of what's going on around them. I think that's what happens in what's always happening in Belgium. And I would raise the question, are those UFOs real or not? They're not real in the sense of they're not machines flying around up there.
This is where we can get into something really cool and interesting a little further down in the discussion here. But let's just go with that for now, and so that people can get an idea on how you're looking at this, because I do find it quite fascinating, especially if we are also dealing with some form of an alien intelligence that's studying us.
Now, that makes it more complicated. And Jung himself waffled on that. And I would take the more, what would you say, absolutist position that we are not dealing with an alien intelligence. I mean, I can't help think of what Eddie Bullard said at one point. And he said this actually in an email to me, that if we are indeed being visited by beings from outer space, they are for the most part innocent bystanders to our psychic dramas. And I think that's a very fine way of putting it, but I also don't think it's true. I think we can do with the psychic dramas and dispense with the visitors, who seem to me very problematic.
I can certainly agree that the UFO phenomena is seen through the lens of our world views, but in your case, that involves so much philosophical and psychological filtering that I worry you've gone off the edge into subjective idealism, which is not only ontologically unfalsifiable, but epistemologically nonsensical.
Okay, now you've got to unpack that for me.
Okay. Okay. There's no question that we interpret our experiences through the lens of our worldviews. I think that part we've got. So in your case, your worldview is very much composed of philosophical and psychological filtering because of your education and your study of the phenomena in that context, so much so that you seem to be of the opinion that we're not dealing with actual physical objective realities, but a purely mental phenomena, which is why I say subjective idealism, which is the philosophical position that holds that everything we experience is purely some sort of mental construct. And of course, that's
not at all.
Right. But that's why I say I worry about that. So that's why I was trying to clarify.
I mean, I don't believe that everything in the world we see around us is our mental constructs. I mean, I look out the window of my house, I see a tree, I see leaves. If I were to photograph that tree, it would be there on the photograph. But now here we're dealing with the edges. We're dealing with things that people see that don't seem to be photographable, that don't seem to have a physical reality, and which nonetheless they do see, as that librarian saw those UFO aliens standing on her lawn. And I have to invoke something like what went on with Morton Schatzman's patient, that they are seeing something that comes from within them.
Great, as a subjective experience. However, because the librarian didn't have a camera and wasn't able to take a picture, we can't assume that they weren't really there. One thing we can assume in most cases, however, that people's optical perceptions are the result of a stimulus response, which is well understood scientifically to be the result of objectively real photons from outside our immediate physical reality entering into it and turning into images within our mind. Yeah, most of the time what we do experience is about things that are there, not about things that aren't there. So why should we assume that with so many sightings that all these people are having some sort of purely subjective experience?
Well, so many sightings, but it's still a tiny fraction of all the optical experiences that people have. I mean, let's talk about the sun. I don't know if the sun is shining where you are. It is here. You go outside, you look at the sun, you probably shouldn't do that. You probably should look away. There's no question that if you photograph it, it's up there. And millions, billions of other people will be having the same experience in this 24-hour period. Now, on one October day in 1917, something like 70,000 people watched that sun fall to the earth at Fatima in Portugal. These included professors, journalists, totally respectable, totally sober people, who saw together the sun do something that the sun cannot possibly do. There's the fringe. There's where we have to say there's a phenomenon that is coming from the inside, perhaps mingling with the outside, that they did see the sun, but then they saw it do something impossible.
Right, but that could be explainable in fairly reasonable technological terms if you allow for it. So perhaps it's simply their, like we were saying before, it's their worldviews. So if, okay, so let's say, for example, we have, suppose for the sake of argument, that there are motherships. And let's suppose for argument that they have smaller craft. There isn't any reason why a mothership might not be able to block out the sun and send out another craft that ascends or descends down to the earth.
This is a question we could pursue in our next segment. Randall, Gene, David, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're talking about the way of interpreting the UFO sighting, Randall. Would you go on, please?
Right. So all I was saying is that, you know, there is one way we could interpret it. If other reports of giant mother craft are accurate, then this is a way that could hypothetically be explained by a type of technology that's more advanced than ours.
Maybe then we need to confront the issue of my basic skepticism. Why do I rule that out? I mean, if you go to Australia and you come back with a report of a hopping pouched animal, the simplest explanation is that it was really there. You really saw it. Because we accept the existence of kangaroos. Why do I not accept the existence of motherships and smaller ships? I would give two answers, of which the one I think is real is the one that really moved me. And I don't know if Gene has talked at all about he and I have known each other now. Lord Gene, how long has it been? 53 years? 54 years?
That's close enough for jazz, yes.
We've been around for a long time. And Gene knows that I was a convinced believer in the extraterrestrial hypothesis, that we were being visited by beings from outer space. And in those days, we used to make fairly confident predictions about the impact that this would have on human history. I mean, in the very first UFO book, Donald Keough's The Flying Saucers Are Real, he describes going or traveling on a plane and thinking that the lives of everyone on that plane would be affected by the flying saucers. That was 1950. I would guess that nearly everyone on that plane is dead now, and not one has experienced the slightest impact of the flying saucers. If these things were in our skies, they have had no influence whatsoever on the course of history.
Oh, I think we could disagree there, that's for sure.
Okay, so let's do that.
Well, for starters, UFOs have been an inspiration for a number of NASA engineers who continue to be the inspiration for people to want to find out what they are and explore topics like anti-gravity and exotic propulsion and exploring the cosmos themselves. That's been admitted by people in the business. And it goes way back to Paul R. Hill, who saw a UFO himself and dedicated much of his thought and time to trying to figure out how to engineer them. They've eked into every corner of our culture From entertainment to advertising, to books to novels to TV films, to say that there is no impact on our culture is just simply so much evidence to the contrary that I find it laughable.
And now we're back on the same page, actually, because I couldn't agree with you more that the belief in UFOs, the image of the UFO, the idea of the UFO has had an enormous impact. But extraterrestrial visitors themselves, I would say zero. There has been no contact. There has been no invasion. The stale old question of why they don't land on the White House lawn remains intact.
Right. So you're talking about some sort of verifiable, material, scientifically valid evidence as opposed to observation by thousands of people.
Which is still a fraction of the total number of observations of sun, moon, birds, etc. that people have.
But, right.
Well, I mean, when I was a kid I in high school, I did what I thought was a really rather clever cartoon showing two Indians going out to standing, Native Americans, standing on a wooded promontory over an ocean, and there you see three boats out there, Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria, and one of the Native Americans says to the other, "You brought me all the way out here to look at temperature inversions." But where that breaks down is
that's beautiful.
That the Native Americans very soon felt the impact of the visitors in dreadful and unmistakable ways. We have not.
Right. But that's maybe not their intent either. We don't know what their intent is, assuming that they exist, which you're on the other side of the fence from me there.
Absolutely.
So I think both sides of the fence tend to have some pretty good points to make, and that's what's making this such a fascinating conversation.
Well, your side of the fence is shared, among others, by Jerome Clark, who is one of the most profoundly intellectual people I know, and who is now, I'm going to insert a plug here, that his monumental UFO encyclopedia is about to appear in its third edition. There's no question that people on your side of the fence have a strong case, but I cannot accept it. And the answer that you give, well, you know, that we don't know what their purpose is the answer I always used to give. You know, we can't say, you know, what would we do if we were in their place, because we don't know what their place is. It was only afterwards that I realized, many years afterwards, that I realized that once I've said that, then the extraterrestrial hypothesis loses its explanatory power. Because there's nothing that can be postulated of extraterrestrial visitors.
Well, I think there's things that can be postulated, but whether or not it can be proven is another story. And then, of course, then we get into the issue of proof and what exactly that means and the nature of evidence and what we accept as evidence that is good enough for proof.
Yeah. And shall I confess what I think is the weakest part of my case right now?
But that doesn't make it less fascinating, though, because and I think we can speculate on this a little bit more as we go, that from my side of the fence, the kind of effects that you're describing on people's worldviews might be just the kind of thing that they're studying, and that the way that they present themselves might be intentional. In other words, they may be aware of our symbolism and our psychology and present themselves in such a way as to study the effects of their appearance on that.
I can't say it's impossible.
If one reflects on that, it becomes very, very interesting.
Yeah. That there is then this kind of, what would you call it, is symbiosis the word, or is it There's another word I'm sort of going for, and I'm not quite getting it. What is the one plus one equals three? The
synergy.
Synergy. Yeah, that's the word.
Right.
I'm asking.
You know, I'm thinking if we were to use an analogy, we could say, you know, go back to the cargo cults who saw the aircraft and started making, you know, what they were. They started making effigies of the aircraft and worshiping them. And they believed that the aircraft were themselves living creatures that were being controlled by other human beings. And if we had wanted to, we could have played on that psychology with our airplanes and ourselves to manipulate their culture into believing and thinking certain things. Now, we know from the likes of, say, John Alexander, that psychological warfare uses exactly these kinds of tactics in order to study the possibilities of the whatever terrain and inhabitants that are where they want to be. So why should we assume that another race that is equally intelligent or more so than us wouldn't want to do the same?
I think the question then becomes, who gets to ask the question? You can ask me, why shouldn't we assume it? I can ask you, why should we assume it? Why should we not assume that we're dealing with purely human processes, many of them poorly understood or not understood at all?
I think you're right. I think in some cases we are dealing with purely human influences.
Speaking of human influences, we've got several minutes of those coming up. We'll be back with David Halperin and J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.